Welcome to Destination Indie, your home for indie games specializing in those on the Xbox Game Pass service, normally. joining us this week, there's myself, ZamWow, and as always, the wonderful Kylea.
Hello, welcome. Thanks for being here today.
And producer Logan.
Hello.
The voice in the darkness.
The voice in the darkness. All right, today we are talking about Chris Tales. A game that was on Game Pass for quite a while and has just recently fallen off. But as such, I think we have an alternate solution for that, right, Kylea?
Yes. So it took us a little bit longer to get through Chris Tales than expected. It snuck off of Game Pass. So we actually have a physical Xbox One copy to give away. I know that does exclude some of you who have a Series S, and I'm sorry for that, but that's unfortunately what I was able to get my hands on. So what we're going to do is, after you listen to the podcast, please shoot me an email at destinationindie@gmail.com and just let me know that you listened to this episode and that you'd like to enter the giveaway, and I will throw you in the running. We're going to run this for 2 weeks past publishing date, and then once I close that out, I will, at no charge to you, ship the copy to you so you can try Chris Tales yourself.
Oh, that's awesome. Good luck. All right, but let's get right into it. What is Chris Tales?
All right, so Chris Tales is a love letter to JRPGs, at least that's what the developer calls it. It was published by Modus Games, and the studio is Dreams Incorporated on Unincorporated and SICK. Now, here's something interesting. When I was doing the research to try and find how many people worked at that studio, there is nothing anywhere. I could not find it. But I did find an AMA on Reddit that had 7 people, so we know that there's at least 7 people that work there that made this game. It came out on July 20th, 2021, and it was a day one release onto Game Pass. And then it did just fall off of Game Pass 1 year later, which sticks to my policy that I believe they set people up for a 1 year window. And it is a single player RPG.
It's a turn-based combat system.
Yes.
With admittedly gorgeous art style.
It's amazing. So the art style is a hand-drawn animation, and that's actually what kind of turned me onto it initially. I really caught my eye. I saw it on Kickstarter, and when I saw it on Kickstarter, I started following it. Because, you know, sometimes you see stuff on Kickstarter that never quite makes it to full release. But I really just loved the hand-drawn animation. I mean, it looks like a cartoon, and a well-done one at that. So what I did is I kept following it after it kind of made its way through Kickstarter, and it did really well on Kickstarter. Then what happened is they did a demo. So they were, you know, running around to like all the shows and stuff and showing it off. And then they released one of their demos out to Xbox Live on like the summer game demo thing that they've been doing for a couple years now. And I tried that demo and I was absolutely in love. It became the game I was most looking forward to. And when it did come out, I picked it up on day one, actually pre-ordered it. And I was not totally happy with the result, but we'll get to that.
Oh boy, I don't remember where I'm going with this. Okay, why don't we get into it right now? Why weren't you not happy with the demo?
No, the demo was great. I thought the demo was delightful, but once I got into the full gameplay and I started playing through the game beyond what the demo covered, there was definitely like a longer list of dislikes than likes, which is unfortunate. They tried. I don't want to like kind of like every episode, like I want to give everybody all the credit. You know what I mean? Like they did try, and the game itself is not terrible, but there are certain things that could have been done differently or better that I feel would have provided a better product. But from what I could find, I think it's their first game. So like everyone that we talk about, you know, maybe next round will be better. Maybe they'll learn from some of the downsides of the game.
Let's talk about story-wise, like our just general setup for the game. So Chris Tales, again, it's a turn-based RPG, is the story of a girl named Chris Bell, who is an orphan at an orphanage, and her little tiny town gets attacked by villains,
Goblins.
Yeah, goblins, villains. And she meets a little orange frog that talks to her and tells her to go grab this sword. And she grabs the sword and fights off the villains, and adventure ensues. She's the mythical hero, and time to
and
go.
And of course, world. She makes friends along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets a party of a weird little time mage guy. Who's apparently really old, but looks like a kid. And then there's Christopher, who is an elemental mage, who has a weird like shield weapon that really threw me off because I thought he was supposed to be a melee character, and definitely played him wrong for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I picked up on it very early. Let me just cut in really quick. I thought that it was going to be Chris and Chris, right? Chris mm-hmm. Bell, Christopher. And I thought mm-hmm. that's why it was Chris Tales, but I'm not totally told on that now getting to the end. Oh, I was like, oh, that's so clever.
Yeah, I thought they might be going in that direction too. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, I guess he's just a side character. He just happens to have Chris in his name as well.
Yeah, okay. That was odd. Okay, so you've got Crisbel, Christopher,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wilhelm, which again, super powerful mage stuck in a kid's body or whatever. Who do you pick up next? I want to say, because there's Kay, Zaz. Who am I missing?
Kay is next, yeah, then Zaz, and then the last one is... Oh, she was a villain for most of it.
Oh, yes. We should save that for later. And then I think there's one more after that as well. If you play your cards right. And as much as I felt like it really had that stuff going for it, I could not. And this is saying a lot because I've tried over the course of like 3 months now. I could not get to the end. It was a very painful 22 hours of my life. To get to where I did. And so full disclosure, I did not get to the end. I have about 5 hours left of the gameplay. Talking to Zam about the whole thing. And I need a break. I need to walk away. So before we get any further, I don't want you to think that I don't know what I'm talking about necessarily. It's that there was a point in which I was done. And I said, okay, let's go ahead and record. So we're being prompted here by producer Logan. I'll take this part if that's all right, Zam.
Yeah.
The gameplay is your traditional turn-based RPG gameplay, but that's where it kind of splits off. So it starts with your pick if you'd like to attack, defend, flee, etc. Pick between your physical attack and your magic. But Crisbel is unique in the fact that she has time magic. So as you're running around in the world, you can see it's split into three, and you can see future, present, and past. And I will loop back around on that. But during combat, you have the ability to basically break time and shove somebody into the future or shove somebody into the past. And you can do some really cool things with this. However, in my experience, the battles themselves, except for one rare exception, were so short that it wasn't worth the effort to try and put somebody into the future or the past.
In addition, you can only put people on the right side of the screen into the future and people on the left side of the screen into the past. So there's like certain magics that you can take advantage of by like, so you give somebody poison or Wilhelm puts these plants down that take a while and then they come out and either explode or do poison or something. And if you say put them on the future side and then send that person in the future, the plants instant explode or whatever instead of taking however many turns. But it happens so incredibly rarely that is what you want to do. I never use that system other than to scan things for future and past stuff. It was a neat mechanic that I found completely worthless.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, they tried really hard to give the game a unique, neat, different mechanic, and it just did not work for it at all. I really, like, one of the things that drew me into, I really like time mechanics. So that's one of the things that really spoke to me about Chris Tales in the first place. Because as you're wandering through the world, you can look into the future and the past. So you can see what the city looked like in the past. You can see what it's going to look like in the future if events continue on the way that they're going. And there's even a little dude that you can kick into the front or into the future and into the past to help grab things that maybe existed then but don't exist now, or talk to somebody that was around then but is not around now. I loved that part of the game. I really enjoyed being able to kind of see how my actions were affecting, or lack thereof, were affecting the world and what would happen in the future. But I did not like the fact that you could not switch between those on demand. I would have much rather, I mean, you could like kick Matthias forward or back and kind of get like a bigger view of the future or the past. But the problem with that was, is he moves at like negative 2 miles per hour. So when you do that, like, you would have to actually physically move your character and then push him into whichever forward or back that you want to see. And then kind of go, oh, this is really cool. And then pull him back, because he couldn't go too far from you. And two, he couldn't actually travel. You know what I mean? So you couldn't just explore the whole future world. Matthias is a time frog. I don't know how to explain him. So he's kind of the character, as Zam mentioned earlier, that kicks you onto your journey. He's just a little teeny orange frog. And he kind of gives you some guidance, which is honestly weird for me, because he acts like he knows exactly what he's doing early on. And then the rest of the game, he's like, I don't know, let's ask somebody else. So what you got, Zam?
Do we get into spoilers or not? Do we sprinkle them in or save them at the end?
I think we should hold them. We should at least get through the first like portion of the episode before we start throwing spoilers.
Okay. Well, but Matthias is like, he sees the potential in Chris Bell. He sees that she's also a powerful time mage with her, that triangle future, past, present mechanic. And so he kind of leads her around. Logan says, better or worse than Navi? Better, definitely better. As far as, like, he is not super intrusive. He's voiced well. He's not annoying. The only annoying part is just how slow he moves, which is an annoying mechanic of the entire game. All of the movement is so slow, and there is no quick travel mechanic until the end of the game. You get one quick travel mechanic that is only barely helpful.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Okay. So before we dig a whole lot further, I just want to say, like, the things that the game has going for it is kind of what we're going over right now. So your time mechanics are fairly cool. They're just not utilized well. The way that you can see the difference in the world as things go like forward and back, and like when you do a major story event, it will actually change the future, depending on what you've done, and you can actually see the effect of your actions. You know, the characters are all pretty unique. Everything is fully voiced. Everything. Every character, every line is 100% fully voiced. And the art style, like we've mentioned before, is amazing. Like, the quality of the drawing is really, really well.
I will say, every character skipped leg day, and I do feel bad about that. Those are some spindly legs to tool around on. Actually, you know what? That explains why everybody moves so slow.
Okay, so you know how people who animate tend to have a specific art style? The art style of the people or person who drew Chris Tales they didn't believe in legs. they have like stick legs.
Except for Kay, but Kay is a robot built by an ancient race, which makes sense that he looks different. He's like an anime mecha boy.
It's like they brought somebody else in to draw that character, and every other character was drawn by the same artist because their legs are so tiny. And like when you see her, like Chris Tail runs for the loading screen, she's got little tiny legs.
Yep, exactly.
So let's go back real quick to the movement. There's no run. Like, you move at one speed and one speed only. Matthias moves at one speed and one speed only. Like, the running and movement is just terrible, especially when you're going through dungeons, which, by the way, you lose your time mechanic in dungeons. Like, when you're walking around the dungeon, there's no past or future or anything like that. You just get a regular screen. That's the only way I ever knew I was in a dungeon, is I didn't have any time mechanics on screen. But you're running around in the dungeon and you run into a situation where you get random encounters with bad guys. So kind of backtracking, you've got your main world map, you've got in city, and then you've got dungeons. I think that would be kind of the three areas that you move through. The world map, there's no random encounters, which I was surprised because I was expecting like Final Fantasy VII style, like you run around and eventually hit a bad guy kind of thing. In town, you get to see your time mechanic. When you're on the world map, you don't. And in dungeons, you don't get to see your time mechanic. But you do get random encounters. And it's just, at that point, it's your traditional turn-based RPG. You randomly encounter a bad guy or you encounter a boss. And then it will put the character with the highest speed forward to take a turn. And then it just rotates through whoever's got the highest speed. Do you want to take over from there, Zim?
Yep, just your typical, you know, turn-based combat, you know, level up your characters, get new spells, get new attacks, get gear, upgrade your gear. The gear itself doesn't level up, but there's different stuff. As you progress through the cities, you can buy better gear or more specialized for each character. There's definitely stuff that is like, this is, you can only give this to this one character because it would be so detrimental to everybody else. And for the most part, it's kind of generic, well, plus attack, plus magic, plus whatever gear. Except for in one city, there's like a lava city. And in every dungeon there, if you do not go and buy the fire resist magic item and take off whatever good magic item you had and put that on, you will lose. Because every character gets burned through the whole thing, and you just constantly take a bunch of damage, and it just totally shut it. It took all a bunch of options away, and it was frustrating in that sense. And then again, there's the where each character specializes in a type of attack. Crispell, beyond her time magic, she eventually gets some decent healing through also time magic. And then she's just a big heavy hitter melee-wise. That's pretty much it.
Let me kind of tag team off of that. I was not... How do I put this? The characters did not follow the path I expected them to in terms of specializations. So when they give you these characters, like, you think, oh, I'm going to build this character for whatever. Or sometimes they'll give you, like, X many spells, and you feel like that character's maybe better geared as a mage or a fighter. I was pretty much wrong on every account when I got those characters. Like, oh, well, this character seems like a caster. No, oh, they're supposed to be a melee. Okay, this character seems like a melee. Oh, they're supposed to be a caster. That was definitely kind of shell-shocking for me. Like, I truly thought that Chris Bell was going to be a caster, and she was really more of a melee character. And I thought Christopher should have been a melee character, and he was actually my strongest all day long, strongest caster.
He's just flat out the strongest character.
I feel like he was definitely lopsided.
Once his spells really start kicking up, and you just give him some items that crank up his magic attack, he will come in and one shot everything. You get to the point where you're like, I should just give him the speed stuff so he can come in and be the first character because he will use a magic attack that attacks everything on the screen and just take it out in one turn.
And then you can use Krizbel to speed him up for 3 turns. And so basically all you're doing is spamming Christopher the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there is definitely an imbalance there. And then, like, you get Wilhelm as your third character, and Wilhelm is weak AF, man. He, his melee is nothing. His spells suck. Wilhelm has this thing called Eukondra, which Sam touched on earlier, which you can either plant, and it takes, like, 8 freaking turns for it to take effect, or you can do an instantaneous one, which is weaker. And there was basically no instance, except for one, which I'll get back to again, in which I used the plant. Like, you're done with the fight by the time that the plant actually comes around. So the whole usefulness you have from him is for him to throw stuff. And even then, that's super weak compared to the other characters.
He was definitely a support character as far as, because he had the scanning ability, which is the only way you can figure out what weaknesses are and what how much health an opponent has and stuff. And then the only time that the Eukondra I found to be useful was he had a healing one that you could plant on your party. And so anytime there was a boss fight, first turn, all I would do is just plant one of those bad boys. Because down the road, as you're taking damage, until Krizbel gets some decent healing, healings is awful in this game. Like, the start was really hard, and then once they leveled up a little bit, it got way too easy.
You should not need to utilize 2 characters out of 3 for healing, and that's what it is in the early game. You really have to heal with Krizbel and Wilhelm on the heavier hitting fights and the higher level stuff. However, I play RPGs very differently than a lot of people. Like, I'm one of those people that hangs back and farms and levels up and stuff, so I'm not quite fighting to go forward as much. And so my opinion of the difficulty of this game is probably very different than other people. So I'm curious to see, like, how hard did you think the game was?
Listen,
especially, like, the combat.
Listen, it's all go, no stop. Listen. All gas, no brakes. Okay. And I failed, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 times, at least later on. At the start, like, in the very, when you first get out of the first little city and you start moving around, I found it really rough. Partially because I didn't realize that Christopher was a caster. Again, he's got this super cool, like, shield sword weapon thing, and I'm like, oh man, look at him, he looks awesome. And the one spell he has is, like, water bubble. And I'm like, well, that clearly can't be a powerful spell. Nope, turns out it's really strong. It just, I don't know, it was very imbalanced. But I've forgotten where I was going. Take over again.
Okay, so I found the general gameplay to be quite easy after leveling up. With the exception of the boss fights, which seemed to spike really difficult, only on the core mechanic of the fact that, like, every boss has, like, 2,500 hit points. So every little dude you encounter has, like, 250 at the most. So if you're hitting relatively hard and you're planning your attacks and stuff like that, like, it's actually really easy to kind of burn through all the little fights that it throws at you. And then you go into these boss fights and they have, like, 2,500 to 3,500 or more hit points, and all of a sudden, like, you're just, it's not a good spike, because even though it wasn't necessarily hard, it was grindy, it was boring. Like, you're just cycling through the characters over and over again. Attack, heal, attack, attack, heal, attack, heal, you know what I mean? Like, and there is a fight, and okay, so I said I'd come back to it, here we go. There is a fight that I spent over an hour and a half in. That was a boss battle, because I would hit the boss and then they would heal. And then I would hit the boss and they would heal. And I would hit the boss and they would heal. Repeat, 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 right? So my net damage to the boss that had over 2,500 hit points was about 20 hit points per turn. And it was ugly. And which, the only reason I survived... it was a lady. Okay. But the only reason I survived that fight is using the plants, right? So I would throw poison at her, and then I would plant the healing. And by the time that she had hurt us enough that we would need to actually, you know, heal or do anything, like, the plant would sprout up, heal everybody, and then I would cast plant again next turn. And by the time I was, like, half an hour in, I'm like, I do not want to leave this fight. I've made some forward progress. I don't want to leave this fight and then try and, like, start over. Like, that's not where I want to go. So I stubbornly kept going forward. And an hour and a half later, I finally defeated the boss, only because I stepped away from doing the safe, like, heal, attack, attack kind of thing, and just started attacking with all three characters and hoping she wasn't going to hurt me more than I was going to take before the heal sprouted up. So it was definitely a rough experience. I was not a fan. It was about halfway through the game. And it was before I picked up Kay, if that helps you any, Zam.
Well, I'm pulling up a list of all the bosses.
But I no boss fight should take an hour and a half. Period. The end. Like, that's unacceptable. The story was also, I felt, kind of convoluted. So, not going too far into spoiler land, like, you as Crystale need, or as Crystale, as Crisbel, need to kind of investigate and expand your time magic. And when you do, you have to travel to these cathedrals in other cities. And there's like four or five other cities, and you go to these cathedrals, and each time you go to a city, they've got some kind of drama. And you have to help solve the drama so that you can figure out, you know, can I go to this cathedral, please, and commune with the time magic? And every time you do, it makes Crisbel stronger. And so by the time you get to the last cathedral, you're supposed to be a pretty powerful time mage for the young girl that you are. And this whole time, you're being messed with by the Time Empress, who is kind of your big bad. And she's trying to save the world in her own way, which is, of course, destroying it, because that's how it works for villains. And yeah, and I felt so disconnected from the story, because you were, when you go into a town, you're doing so much to help the town and the people there that the story brings you there and the story takes you away from there, but you're not actually really doing anything for the story while you're there. Would you agree with me, Zam, or do you think differently?
Oh, boy. I mean, I guess to an extent, I mean, all of the issues that happen in those cities, like the core issue, are brought about by meddling that the Time Empress or the people that work under her do. So I guess as you fix those problems, you're technically, like, messing up her plans. So it still does kind of play into it. For instance, in this, is that the second city that Christopher is from? The lord of the city is treating all the people outside the city walls like garbage, and the people inside are doing this, and there's a machine that's killing people. It's all because he's working for the Time Empress. And so, I mean, you're stopping him and stopping the production of an item that she needs for her armies or whatever.
I just didn't feel like it flowed well into the larger story. Yeah, you're stopping her minions, but, like, it's, oh, yeah. I don't know. I just feel like it's very disjointed. You have your overall larger story, but again, other than bringing you to the city and away from the city, it's not super addressed, other than, oh no, now you've foiled their plans.
It's, the overall game is travel to a city, do the main quest and some side quests that are not necessarily the easiest things to find, because there's no indication that they are there. You just kind of have to stumble upon them. Do some time shenanigans, solve it, do whatever dungeon is there, maybe two dungeons, maybe three dungeons, and then move on to next themed place. There's water, sewer, city area, then there's fire area, then there's snow area, and then there's crystal area. And then, well, we'll get into slight spoilers here. Then there is, once you finish crystal area, there is go back to every area to recruit a team of people for assistance. Then go back to every area to fight through extra themed dungeons to get back to the last area. Then you can finally finish the game. And
That's where I quit.
This game takes forever and returns you back to everywhere so many times. And you at the end of the game, you finally get this dragon that you can fly back to the cities. But then you have to go through dungeons to get back to the city anyways. And those dungeons are boring. So boring. It's just a repeat. It's the same essential dungeon with a different color and style of enemy slapped onto it. There's the evil robot, but now there's the fire evil robot, and now there is the ice evil robot in future, past, and present versions. And it gets so grindy, especially at the end. Oof. Right. I did finish this game, by the way. I've gone through, I fought the final boss. Right before you fight the final boss, you can also get access to a Colosseum mode, which is just like a boss rush type thing. And I did do a pretty good attempt on that as well. And woof.
So I gave up. Okay, we're going to kind of call this probably our breakpoint. We're about halfway through now. So we're going to call this our breakpoint. I want to talk a little more freely about what we didn't like. You can touch on what you like. I was pretty clear early on what I liked about it. So now I'd like to talk a little bit about what I didn't like. But also I'd like to talk about some more story points and why something that seems so good did not end up being so good in execution. Like, great in idea, flawed in execution. So I'll kind of jump off of where you stopped there. I went through the story. I did all the side quests, which, by the way, he's right. They're very hard to find. Oh, and if you miss them, sucks to be you. Now you got to replay the game. Once you leave an area, you cannot go back and do the side quests.
Although it does say at some points, hey, don't go forward in case there's anything else you need to do. So it does give that.
Yeah, warning. It does. It does have like a breakpoint thing. But again, they're very hidden unless you're following a walkthrough or a guide of some sort. And I went through all the different cities. I went through all the dungeons. I defeated the bosses. I got to what I thought was the end, defeated the Time Empress. And yeah, I got another 5 hours of gameplay to go from there. And it's just, it felt like the longest 22 hours I have played in a video game ever. Like, it was painful. It was a painful 22 hours. And I don't want to spend another 5 hours playing it. I don't want to keep going. Like, I don't care what the payoff is at this point. Like, I've defeated the Time Empress. I'm good, because I don't want to go on this whirlwind trip through all the cities. And like, what other story are you going to do for me other than what the hell or who the hell is Krizbel? Because clearly there's something going on there.
Can we go into spoilers?
Yeah, let's go into spoilers, because like, in, let me start here. So in my final, like, you have Wilhelm with you the entire time, and he just keeps alluding that he knows more. He is more than he really is. And then by the time that you get to the end with Wilhelm, he like turns into this giant adult magical time mage who has seconds to live and helps you defeat the Time Empress. What? Like, and that's all they give you for a story. Like, oh, I fought her many years ago and they captured me in time, and that's why I was in a child body. So now I'm going to help you defeat the Time Empress. Heart.
I saw that one coming super far. When you go to his house earlier, you have to like, you stop by his house in Ice Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And there's a like a little crystal projector thing, and you see a picture of him in his adult form. And I was like,
I didn't know that was him as an adult. I just thought it was like another character.
I saw it and I went, oh, look, that's him. Oh, I guess that's how he's supposed to be looking. And he's trapped in this child body. Oh, and then he doesn't use any time magic. He uses the plant magic. Well, that's because he had to seal away his time magic because he was going to die. So instead, he sealed himself in a young body. And yeah.
I mean, kudos to anybody who goes beyond the point that I did. But that was the final straw when they're and now we need to go everywhere else. Like, I was just like, I was done. And I hate that. I hate that I couldn't make it through. It really upsets me. because I wanted to play the whole thing, but it's just, it got to a point, I was talking to Logan about it. I had the I don't wannas so bad. Like, it it was like almost like a physical cringe every time that I was like, okay, I gotta go back and finish this game. Like, I was just done.
I get that.
It's so grindy. It is so, so grindy. Like, there is...
This is the exact reason why we are recording it after it's already come off Game Pass, is because it was so grindy.
Yeah, yeah, it took me so long to get through the 22 hours that I did. Mm-hmm. Like, weeks and weeks, because it's not fun. It could be fun. There's so many cool things that could make it fun. Like, yeah, that time mechanic is so freaking cool, and they did nothing with it. Like,
it's... Yeah. I liked it in the cities when you could, like, kind of move back and forth and see people. But the fact that you couldn't shift the triangles on the future and past to, like, get better views of things, you had to, like, slowly walk back and forth and hope you could see what you wanted to see. That was annoying. The fact that you couldn't swap which side of the screen they were on that's what made that mechanic so pointless in combat anyways. And then, yeah,
I feel like the lack of additional conversation options with characters made them very shallow as well. Like, they could have done more to flesh out the characters, but any character, anytime you talk to them, it's not like there was multiple story options or multiple conversation options. Like, that's it. That's all you get, is the one thing that there are two things that they're going to say to you. And then you move on, and then after another event, you talk to him again, and it changes. But there's not a lot of depth of conversation or character there.
Yep, yep.
And can we please talk about saving?
there are a lot of save points, which they added more of, because people hated that there were so few. And even then, they are a pain in the butt to go back and forth to. It was annoying, but I would not go so far as to say frustrating for me.
Okay, I'm going to talk about some mechanics that could have been done better. So if they're calling this a love letter to JRPGs, and they're trying to say, like, hey, we're a JRPG that's better, you know what I mean? Like, how are you better than one that's come out in the last 10 years? Oh, we've got a cool time mechanic or whatever. How about having a delete button on the save screen? Having more than four save options. The fact that when you go to save, it asks you three different options. And of course, I just want to save is not the default option. You end up selecting something like, I would like to heal all my characters, instead of just, I want to save. They do have multiple saves in varying areas, and I am kind of a compulsive saver, so that was very helpful, because I saved everywhere multiple times. Like, oh, I walked 3 feet away and got in a boss or got in a fight. Walk back, save. Okay, let's keep going. I mean, that was helpful, and yet I still lost progress. I still had, like, it freeze during saving and had to reload. Gosh. There's no confirmation that you save, so, like, multiple times I would save two or three times because I would ADHD, click the button, look away for a second, not remember if I actually saved or not because there's no confirmation. Hit save again. Wait, did I save? Save again. It could have been done better. And speaking of could have been done better, sorry, one thing, I have to say it. Why the heck do you not heal when you level up? Okay, now you can go on.
Yes, that was frustrating. Although I got healing down pretty well, like, as a rotational thing, so it didn't end up being too big of an issue for me, especially towards the end when everybody got so overpowered, especially Christopher. But let's bring up freezing. Thank you for reminding me of that. How many times this freaking game just froze and crashed on me? Like, if you leave it in the menu for too long in a pause menu, it will freeze, and there's nothing you can do to get out of it except close the game down. It happened to me multiple times until I learned I'm either playing this game or I'm shutting it down, because I don't want that to happen to me and I lose all my progress. That almost got me to quit the game at the beginning, and I only played through it because you told me to.
there's so many things that could have been done better, like the speed of walking. like implement a run button or some sort of sprint feature or something, because it just gets, everything about this game gets so tedious the longer that you do it.
Oh man.
Let's
jump into the like story spoilers, speaking of things that are frustrating. So as you go through, you're collecting your different people. You get Kay, the robot boy, anime mecha robot boy, who joins your party. Hey, he's a super strong, super fast puncher guy. Oh, cool. But he has this crazy overheat mechanic that causes him to blow himself up like every two or three turns.
Every other.
Why?
Every other turn.
Why? I hated it. And then shortly after you get him and you're like, well, I don't want to use, he's not, because he explodes, I don't want to use him. I'll just keep using Wilhelm instead, because at least I understand how to use him with his scanning and stuff. Great. Then immediately you lose Christopher. You think you're about to get Aerith'd by him. He gets sick and he gets taken out of the party. And you're like, well, I guess he's gone. You go have to go on a mission to save him, which thank God you do. But that's through that lava area, which was one of the more difficult areas because of all of the lava damage, unless you thought ahead to buy the stupid lava fire resist crystals. So you are stuck using, learning how to use Kay and Wilhelm, and you lose your strongest hitting person for a very good chunk of the game, including a big battle against these recurring villains that are quite strong and are so frustrating.
That fight took me forever too.
Against the volcano sisters. Oh my goodness.
That was the fight that I spent an hour and a half on.
That makes sense.
Because I took out one of the sisters, and the sister who was left was the one that could heal. Mm-hmm. And just...
Yes, it's so frustrating. Again, because you lose your biggest hitter before this crazy, grindy fight. It is so frustrating. You then, about that same time, you also get your next party member, which was Zaz. Who has this bag of tricks that can randomly do whatever damage. She has some magic. The magic is, it's all in a roulette. Everything about her is luck-based and roulette-based, and it is, so you never know quite what you're going to get with her. So she can be really strong, but why would I want to do this? At least,
would you play an entire RNG-based character?
At least she has some decent healing. If you can get certain things about her down, and some of the roulette things, it's kind of easy to pick what you want, especially on the healing. But even then, there's still luck in it, and it's frustrating. Terrible character. Ugh. Eventually, you get her sister, who was a villain for a good chunk of the story. Chris eventually regresses her to like a little kid. And then she joins your party again as a little kid at the end of the dang game. And you're like, why do I want to start over with this new character with this weird summoning soul stealing mechanic? Again, reading through some walkthroughs, apparently she's strong. Hold on. and I'm like, I just learned how to use these other characters. Why do I want to learn? Ugh, forget it. Lish.
Why would they give you a character that can capture monsters in the last, like, fifth of the game or mm-hmm. tenth of the game? You know what I mean? Like, oh, hey, here's a cool thing where you can capture monsters and use them to fight for you, right? But you can't, like you've already gone through three quarters of the game, so now you have to backtrack to capture all these other abilities, especially if you want the achievement for it.
Although, right after you get her is when you have to start your backtracking of going to every city twice. So at least there's that. It forces you to go back there.
But the point is that why would you do that? Just like Chris Bell's abilities, right? You can't choose what if you do past or future, just depending on what side of the screen they're on. So they give you K, and K can move them to a different side of the screen. Awesome. In the last chunk of the game. Like, why couldn't you give me this sooner? Why can't you make this more viable for me? And just like, you know, sure, you can do poison or fire and then shove somebody into the future. But on the same note, let's say I accidentally poison somebody on the left-hand side of the screen and shove them into the past. Well, now they're not poisoned anymore and my spell did nothing.
Yep. I did that exact thing. just wiped out poison. I'm like, ah, oh, awesome. The in addition, because Kay is such a heavy physical hitter and the time mechanic is just not worth it, you should never ever waste a moment moving them back and forth unless you're trying to scan future, past, and present of every critter, in which case you're not even in the combats for the combats at that point. So you're just trying to grind out achievements of super grindy achievements.
I'm going to jump back to something you were saying. So they take Christopher away from you, and I was like, oh no, I'm being Aerith. Like, this sucks. And then I got Christopher back, and that's great. Until they killed Wilhelm, and then I lost Wilhelm. So...
yep. Like, you fake Aerith, and then Aerith.
Yeah, I was not thrilled with that.
Yeah, I was very frustrated too. But that
and you lose all the stuff on the character too.
Yes. I think I saved it. I went back to the save point and took all the stuff off and then went back into that encounter. Yeah. I was like, nope, forget this.
So we didn't actually talk about this earlier. Let's talk about the timed attacks. And this probably should have done this like half an hour ago, but you're in combat, you hit a button to attack, and then you want to hit A or again when you're actually doing your attack motion against the enemy, and it will make it a critical. It will make it do better than just pressing it and not doing anything at all.
Like all of the Mario RPGs or like the Mario and Luigi games on the DS and stuff. Those that was a huge mechanic of those timed attacks.
Yeah, so you have to basically time it exactly when you're attacking the enemy. Or if the enemy is attacking you, if you hit the button at the same time, you have a chance to parry or deflect the attack so you're not taking as much damage. Except there's basically no visual guide to what is going to work and not work for parrying, deflecting, and attacking. So you just have to guess. I don't know. I think that looks like he's going to hit it out. You know, like it was terrible. Terrible.
I never got it down.
I never did either. I mean, I got it close, but
You could, I think they come, your attacks end up like a good, great, perfect thing. And getting a perfect attack was so rare.
I kept getting goods.
Goods and the occasional great, and that was it. And it was like, okay, well, this is annoying.
And it wouldn't take much to fix it. Like, as a developer, like, have like a little, like, you know what I mean? Like a little burst or something that, like, if you hit it right when the burst hits, you know? No, there's no visual guide at all.
Light blade.
Like, they just tell you to, they touch it once early in like the basic tutorial that you want to press it at the same time that it hits the enemy so you can do more damage. And that's it. That's all they ever give you. Good luck.
The fight against the Time Empress. What a pain in the butt. She has this attack that hits all of your characters and brings them to one health. Thankfully, she's the only enemy on the screen. And so she can't just immediately, like, no other enemy immediately follows it up with something and takes you out. But it is so frustrating. You have to, I had to look up a guide for it because there is a very specific rotation of things that you have to do to beat her. If you do that rotation, you will beat her every single time, guaranteed, because she does the exact same.
There's no RNG to the fight itself.
Exactly. Or very little. And what there is easily overcome by doing that exact rotation. That was pointless. I so frustrating for such a stupid fight. Speaking of which, in the boss rush mode, the Colosseum mode, they pair her with some adds.
Oh.
And that is where I failed in the Colosseum fight because I, as much as I tried to prevent that from happening, boom, she hit me, brought me down to one hit point, and then one of the adds would just immediately hit and take out the single hit point left on any of the characters. And just... boom, boom, boom.
Let me put this in perspective for people who are listening. She has 3,600 hit points, and she heals for 500 hit points every turn. And Krizbel has an ability called Regression, where you can revert her back to her status a previous turn. So what you would do in theory is you regress her and it takes those 500 points that she healed back off. Then you attack her twice and you regress her again. But if you don't cast Celeritas, which is the ability I mentioned earlier that speeds up the character for 3 turns, if you don't cast that on Krizbel every 3 turns or so, what happens is you fall behind the rotation on the Empress and then she heals up to full. There should not be a fight like that.
No.
That's unreasonable. Like, you should not, 2 people should not have to go out of 2, look up a walkthrough on how to finish that fight. I'm curious though at how the story ends, because like I said, I finished the Empress fight and I was like, I'm good. I'm not going back and replaying everything. So give us synopsis of the end.
So if you notice throughout the, as you run through all the churches or chapels or whatever, you see the windows and they have like a past, present, future of all the different characters.
Right.
One of them shows Krizbel and in the future shows the Time Empress, because the Time Empress is Krizbel.
What?
Yeah.
So why does Krizbel go crazy? And how does she turn into the Time Empress?
Well,
and why is she in 2 places at the same time fighting herself?
Because it's just a multiple timelines of it. And like, she's done this several different times where like, it's like, she's just traveling back and forth in time and making like and different versions of her get raised or affected differently and turn out slightly differently. And this is supposed to be like the final version of it. It's kind of silly and it's been a while since I played it, so I don't remember the exact details of it, but yes, that's, she's like, because she's like, you're my mother, and she's like, I'm not your mother, idiot, I'm you. She says, silly girl, I'm not your mother.
Wow.
Yeah, it's literally just her.
I will say that the game definitely could have used some more tuning, quality control, maybe time to marinate, because
definitely it was a delayed release so that they could make it better.
I would not have wanted to see it before.
But let's get into more, because throughout the thing you meet these ancient robots that are from some past civilization that existed. Like, that's where K is, like, ancient. It was built by this, some super advanced thing. All the dungeons are part of this advanced civilization, da-da-da-da. They disappeared because of something, you know, our RPG plot stuff.
There's a lot of unanswered questions, by the way.
Yeah. Turns out Matthias is one of those people. He's like, he put himself in the little frog thing to like hide himself. And he has been basically fighting Krizbel for multiple like iterations. The whole point is the Time Empress is trying to stop her. And she's like, well, I guess I can't beat him in any other way, so I'll just do this instead and be a bad guy or whatever. I don't know. You beat the Time Empress, which stops whatever cycle Krizbel was going on, and then Matthias reveals himself like, ha, 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 now I can bring my people back by bringing the past. I'm going to use your time magic to bring the past into this time, destroying everything that's here now, and save my people, and da-da-da. So now you have to go on a quest to go and stop him, and it involves you going to all these dungeons and shutting down cataclysm machines in all 4... other old cities, and then coming back and opening up a door and then finally getting to fight him. Turns out he's a guy named Ardo, and you have to have a big final fight against him.
I'm so glad I didn't finish this game.
And that fight, surprise, go put on your fire resist crystals again. Doesn't matter what cool magic item you got to replace them. Nope. If you don't put them on, you cannot beat the fight. He does these super powerful elemental magic attacks, and the fire one puts a huge burning tick on you that you can't outheal because of all the extra damage he is doing to you. So you specifically have to wear items to avoid getting burned. And handicapping there, because it turns out your rings and your necklaces are your best items There are healing and magic recovery items that go in those slots. And if you just leave those on, you can tank just about anything. But
in a later game, I didn't have to heal at all because of the rings and necklaces I was using that had healing capabilities.
Until you have to take them off because you have to have fire resist on to beat the game.
Wow.
Yes.
Less than impressed. I'm so glad, like I said, I didn't continue on. Like, there's a level of polish that needed to be there, especially with a delay, especially with the Kickstarter, especially, you know what I mean? And it just doesn't hit the mark. It gets there, mostly. But it's too much grindy. And then, like, dumb things. Like, I found misspellings. Like, if you're in Crystallis and you save and you go into your menu, Crystallis is spelled differently in the menu than it is everywhere else in the game. the character Zaz, her name is spelled two different ways, Z-A-Z and Z-A-S. Like, you know, you walk up to a chest to try and open it, and God forbid you approach it at 10 degrees wrong angle. You can't open the chest. You have to walk away and walk back. Like, the item descriptions, like you were mentioning, basically don't give you any guidance as to what they actually do. You have to look at the stats that they're adjusting, because only some of them will tell you increases magic attack. Other ones will be like, a beautiful rose attached to a necklace given to you by so-and-so. And then you're looking at it going, oh, it gives me plus 10 magic attack.
Yeah.
Why?
It's silly. It's just silly.
Okay. All right. So is there any other major points you want to hit before we move forward?
Just the last thing I want to hit on is there was a DLC dungeon that was added. And that is actually what that other character comes into play as, the Audrey. It's not that you have to do everything right to get her. She just joins your party as part of that DLC dungeon. After you beat the Time Empress, you go and talk to her. Because you have to gather her as part of the going back and forth thing after that. And you just go and talk to her, and there's an extra door in this area, and that you just go through that to get into this final dungeon.
If you talk to her too many times, she won't join your party.
No, but she will mess up other things for achievements if you talk to her too early.
Well, maybe that's what it is, because the walkthrough says, because I read kind of a portion of the last chunk, and it says that if you want, because I was trying to see, like, is it an easy thing to finish this game, or where do I stand on this? And it said if you talk to her too many times, it'll mess it up. So maybe it wasn't.
Yes.
Oh, she joins your party at a wrong time or something, maybe.
Yes. If you have her, you have to, like, level everybody up max, something like that, that you have to do. And if you have her join your party too early, it messes up that achievement.
Got it.
So that's what you have to avoid. I didn't finish the DLC dungeon. I started it a little bit, played with her a little bit. She builds robots and tanks and stuff, and then you can use time magic to make them better or worse. I don't know. It wasn't that interesting, and I was pretty much done with the game, so I never finished. Uninstalled and gone. And then, of course, it came off Game Pass, and here we are.
Let's talk about achievements really quick. Don't play this game for achievements.
It will take, like, you forever. It's not.
Yeah, it takes forever. If you misstep in any place, you will miss achievements. You will have to replay the game. Like, there's a set in multiple places, there's sets of decisions that you have to do a certain way. And if you don't, then you can't choose, like, a third option when it comes up. And then you can't get that achievement. All the achievements suck to get. Most of them are missable. Like, unless you're a glutton for punishment, do not play this game for achievements.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Nope. I'm so fed up. Even just talking about it, I am so fed up. It could have been so good, and it just isn't.
Yeah.
There's so many bad things about it.
Which brings in, I hope that their next game is better.
I agree.
They showed promise. They just did not fully deliver on it. So, final thoughts. If you like grindy RPGs that move slow, play it. Otherwise, skip it.
Pacing is definitely a problem. Like, they just don't quite get the best way to do the pacing. And I'm just so disappointed by the fact that they didn't take the time mechanic and use it in more places than when you're wandering through cities. Like, it's not there on the overworld. It's not there in the dungeons. Like, you had a cool thing going for you, and you just didn't utilize it at all.
Yep.
So, Logan's telling us we're blasting the game. I'm sorry, Logan. I really wanted it to be good. I wanted it to do well. And there are people out there that like it, and there's people out there that feel similarly to me. And I'm sorry to the devs. I hope that whatever you make next, you can kind of glean an guidance and criticism and maybe add a little bit extra polish to the next game. But again, the music's great. Like, I can't get over the fact that everything is fully voiced. And the voices are good. Like, again, you started so well.
Yeah, it was... Again, lots of promise that didn't fully deliver.
Good way to put it, yes.
Again, we are having a giveaway for this game. Giveaway for this game. Email at destinationindie@gmail.com. And
let us know you listen to it.
two weeks after published date, Kylea will draw a winner.
I will mail a copy to you.
Exactly.
Logan, what questions or comments do you have after hearing us rip apart the game for half an hour?
I think this game looks beautiful. I'm not an RPG guy, so every time you guys have talked about like the turn-based and the rotations that you need and stuff like that, it just does not seem to appeal to me. Are there RPGs that you would recommend if people were looking to play this and have been turned off?
Final Fantasy VII.
for modern day stuff, I have not played a ton of them lately. I think soonly or later this winter, early spring, the Advance Wars games getting a remake on Switch. Those were great turn-based combat games.
Mm-hmm. Battle Chasers Night War is supposed to be amazing. Was on Game Pass once upon a time, and I just never quite got back to it, but I've heard just excellent, excellent things about that. I do quite enjoy Kingdoms of Amalur, but that's more of an action RPG and not a turn-based. But there's definitely options out there. And if you really like those JRPGs, like Kemco and stuff, they have a bunch of like cheap ones on Game Pass too. But most of them are 8-bit, not like fully drawn like this.
The aforementioned Mario and Luigi games that were on the DS and 3DS, those games were incredible. Bowser's Inside Story is a work of art. And if you've never played it, you find a way to go and play it because it is worth all the time into it.
All right. Well, I think that we've kind of reached the end of this episode. We are going to be working through Tunic next, and we've got a couple other games coming down the slate. So you should be hearing from us relatively soon as we are actually both partially done with Tunic.
Yeah. My daughter keeps wanting me to play it. She says, Daddy, play Fox. Play Fox.
And then behind that, we've got our Letter D game. And then I'm actually really excited to get through our next two games so we can try Escape Academy. Escape Academy recently came to Game Pass. It looks super cool. It is co-op, so Zam and I get to play that one together. And I think that it will be a delight. I can't wait.
Heck yeah.
So thank you everyone for being here today and listening to our compliments and complaints.
If you have comments on the episode, comments on us, want to talk to us, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Kylea, K-Y-L-E-I-A, or for Destination Indie at DestIndie, D-E-S-T-I-N-D-I-E. Best way to get a hold of me for sure, and I'm also part of the Keelhaul Discord. Zam, what's a good way to get a hold of you?
Find me on Twitter at ZamWow, and that's good enough.
You can reach either of us through the DestinationIndie@gmail.com as well. And then, of course, we've got producer Logan, who is so kind to help us with these episodes and also keep us in line.
I'm just
him at
just in places. Just look up Captain Logan. You'll find me. If you don't, I don't want you to find me.
Hey, if you're into more general gaming news, Logan makes the Xbox wrap up.
Oh, yes.
Every week.
Xbox wrap up is amazing.
Highly recommend going and checking it out.
You guys are too kind.
And Keelhauled if you like Sea of Thieves.
I don't even play the game, but I listen to it.
That's the best review ever right there. Thanks again, everyone, for being here, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.